Thank you for listening. For other great sermons, please visit us online at www.berkshirehillsbaptist.com.
Chapter 6. How many have ever read the Declaration of Independence? 1. 2. All right. Well, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you this morning. Maybe later. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. You should read it. This isn't the Constitution. This is the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to read just the first two lines. The preamble and the first line, really, of the Declaration of Independence. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. I like the second line. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that hasn't changed. That's what we all want. Really, not just as Americans, but everybody in the world really wants to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it seems like as we've gone through history, as we've gone through the time since the 1700s when this was written, we've kind of gotten a different idea what life really is about. We have to ask ourselves, what's important in your life? What is important in your life? Is it having enough or more than enough? Is it having enough food? Is it having enough to drink, enough to wear? Is it maybe your appearance? How you look? How do you look to yourself or how do you look to others? Well, what if I told you a secret that would make sure all of these needs are met? You want to know the secret to living the good life? Well, it's not really a secret. Jesus gave us this secret of living the good life a couple of thousand years ago, and it hasn't changed. As we read this morning in Scripture, the secret to a good life is the priorities we set. And oftentimes we set the wrong priorities when we come to life. But if life to you is the way you look to yourself or to others or what you wear or what you eat or drink, we've already read in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus said, those aren't important. Our Father already knows what you need. And He'll give them to you. Now, for you ladies, it may not be that gold and diamond encrusted dress that you've, you know, that may not be what gets, but you'll be supplied with what you need. For gentlemen, we'll get supplied. For families, we'll get supplied. Everybody will get supplied with what you need. But you have to do it God's way. Because we want to be happy. We want to have this life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And until we go after life the way God intends us to go after life, we'll never have happiness. And you'll never feel liberty. So what's Jesus tell us here? Let's read again verse 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, Then he says, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So if you want to live the good life, if you want to have a life worth living, didn't Jesus come say he came to give us life and that more abundantly? Well, it wasn't necessarily that we'd all live in mansions. But if he chose to put you in a mansion, that's okay. It wasn't that we'd all have the car we want, the clothes we want. Sometimes we get those, and that's okay. But it's what do we set first? If you want to live the good life, first of all, you have to have priorities. God's priorities. He tells us first to seek ye first. Let's look at those three little words to begin with. He tells us, first of all, we have to seek. You know what that means? To go after. To wish for, to seek absolutely. And it's a kind of thing where you're going to seek, and it's a continuous action. Last year, out on the property, we had, I can't remember, they're either blueberries or raspberries. They're some kind of berry, and they're good. And I ended up getting quite a can full of them. And I'm not going to tell you that there's even more of them out there this year, because you may go get them before I can get them. So that's a secret. No. But you know what? I get a phone call from a neighbor and says, hey, there's a bear going around. And there were still berries out there, but I went out later that afternoon, and this bear had eaten all the rest of the berries. And you could tell because it trampled it down. But you know what a bear does? They don't get satisfied. When they finished that berries, I know he went looking for more berries. And when he found those, he went looking for more. You see, he was seeking berries. When he found them, he enjoyed them, and he started seeking more. And when he found it, he enjoyed it, and he started seeking more. He never gave up his search until it was time to go in hibernation. And that's the kind of word this seek is. It's a continuous action. It tells us to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. We don't give up when we found it. We keep seeking deeper and deeper into the meaning of what it means to be in God's kingdom and his righteousness. Just because we found the kingdom of God doesn't mean we stop going after it. So we have to seek. Then it says, seek ye. You see, the seeking is a personal thing. I mean, as you're growing up, yeah, we have to follow our parents along as they go to church and they're trying to do the right thing and stuff like that. But eventually you have to come to a spot where you realize that the kingdom of God is something you have to go after personally. As Peter mentioned this morning, I think he looked at my message before he taught his, because he stole a couple of my points. We have to realize that salvation is a personal issue. That your parents could be saved, your parents could be on the way to heaven, that doesn't guarantee you are. So when we're going after the things, the spiritual things, we have to realize that it's always a personal action. If we have children, we can't say, well, they're growing up in church, they're going to heaven, because it's not because they grew up in church they're going to heaven. Amen? It's not because they, memorized all these scriptures. To get to heaven is the same for everybody. You have to believe. You have to realize, one, first of all, what? You're a sinner. Two, that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and resurrected because of that sin. And he did it for you. And he offers forgiveness. And when we realize that the only way to get to heaven is by going through Jesus Christ and having him forgive us of our sins, that's all we can do. And it's a personal action. I have to do it myself. Wouldn't it be nice, though, if we could do it for other people? Oh, man, I know this person. They don't want to accept the Lord, so I'm going to accept the Lord for them. But it's not that way. Seeking the kingdom of God is a personal thing we have to do. A continuous action, a personal action, and now's the priority. He said, seek it first. Above all things, he wants us to seek first his kingdom. We're to make it an important priority. It's to be the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning. You know, I woke up this morning. I don't do it every morning. I don't want to sound too spiritual. But I woke up this morning and think, man, today's Sunday. I get to go to church. I get to see other brothers and sisters in Christ. I get to worship God today. And really, when we're making it a priority, you can imagine any other thing in your life. If you've been trying to get that special job, and it keeps eluding you, and finally you've got it, and you wake up the morning, the first day of your work, and you're thinking, I got what I wanted. You made that first in your priorities that day, but Jesus said the first thing in our priority should be him. You wake up in the morning, you think about him and what he wants for you that day, where he wants you to go that day. You make him first if you want to live the good life. And I guarantee you on the word of God that when you make him first in your life, things will be better. No matter how good your life is, when you put Jesus in your life, it will be better. So we're to seek him first. Make it a priority. In fact, we're to seek him first and make it a priority above even worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Verse 34 says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. A lot of times, we have to realize God is a God of today. Did you know that? With God, there is no time. He's an eternal God. He's an everlasting God. And God wants us to understand the most important day in your life is today. Not yesterday, because you can't change it. It's gone. Not tomorrow, because it's not here yet. God says, I give you today. I'm not going to guarantee you tomorrow. I had a friend of mine, I've told you this story before, when I was an instructor at the Nuke Power School. I hadn't really witnessed to him, but I kept inviting him to church. And one night we get a phone call. His neighbor saying, is so-and-so, is John at work? And John's not here. Why? Because John's house is on fire. Young man, mid-20s. That night, him, his wife, and his two little children perished in that fire. The day before, I'd been talking to John. He was all excited because he was going to be advanced and he was moving up the ladder, so to speak, in the military, and everything was looking up for John. And he couldn't wait until next week came and next month came because things are happening. But the truth of the matter is, John never saw the next day. So we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. We should live today. Amen? Because today is all we're guaranteed. The moment right now when you're breathing is what God has guaranteed you. He wants us to live it to the best and make priority of seeking him first. Right now. And so, too many times as believers, we spend a lot of time thinking about other stuff. About tomorrow. Oh no, man, tomorrow's Monday. I got this to do at work and that to do at work and the other to do at work. You ever think about that? Totally ruins your Sunday if you start thinking about Monday. Sometimes we think about, well, I have this surgery or I have this doctor's visit or I have this to happen tomorrow or next week or sometime. And so all of our thinking is all about what's going to happen in the future. And we get so caught up in what's going to happen in a couple of days that we fail to live today. And God wants you to live today for Him and His glory. Because you're not going to change tomorrow. You can worry about it all you want to. It's not going to change what's going to happen tomorrow. And many times, I know in my life, and I've heard talk of testimonies in others' lives, many times the things we worry about tomorrow, when tomorrow finally comes, they don't even happen. So we ruined today worrying about tomorrow, and then when we get to tomorrow, it didn't really happen, so we wasted 2 days. God wants you to live today. He wants you to realize that you shouldn't worry about what's going to happen. It doesn't mean we can't plan. I mean, there's a reasonable amount of planning that we can have for tomorrow. But don't worry about it. Oh, man, when I retire, I want $1 million in the bank. So that means I'm going to have to put everything in. You know, I want $2 million. Some people say, well, the time I retire, I'm going to need $10 million just to be able to pay my taxes. But you know what? If you're not careful and make your whole focus about what you're going to retire on and how you're going to get it, and you're working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not putting God first, you may not make it. You'll be like that illustration that was given in Scripture about the guy who had a good harvest. He says, man, I'm going to fill up my barns. I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to retire because I've been blessed with all this stuff. And that night, the Lord says, tonight your life will be required of you. Live today. Enjoy today. Because this is the day God gave you. Now, so living the good life means setting the right priorities. Living the good life also means having a positive outlook. You don't have to raise your hand, but let me ask you a question. You can think it. Do you have a positive outlook about things, or do you have a negative outlook? Well, God wants us to have a positive outlook. You're thinking, well, you don't know my life, Pastor. Well, that's true. I don't know all of your lives, but I knew one thing. I know God. And I know when God works in our lives, He wants us to have a positive outlook on everything. I mean, if anybody should have a positive outlook, it should be a believer. If you know Jesus Christ, you know no matter what happens, even if you die, you have a home in heaven. Woo! That should excite you. You know that if you believe what God's Word says, He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You could lose all your friends, you could lose all your family. You could feel mighty alone, but the truth of the matter is, if you know Jesus Christ, He's with you. All the time. As a believer, we should have a positive outlook on life. Now, I'm not talking about a joy or a happiness necessarily, like, you know, the Declaration of Independence is the pursuit of happiness, because happiness is based on circumstance, isn't it? You know, I could be the happiest guy in the world, but if you hit my toe with a hammer, that happiness goes away, at least for a little bit. But you can have a joy within you that comes only from Jesus Christ, and this joy allows us to have a positive outlook. Yeah, you can hit me with a hammer, but the truth of the matter is I can have a joy within me knowing it will be okay after it stops hurting. I used to tell my grandson, he came to visit, he'd get a little boo-boo on his finger. I says, that's all right, you won't even think about it in 10 years. And finally he caught on. He goes, wait a minute, I won't even have it in 10 years. Exactly. You're growing up, young man. We can have a positive outlook about what's going on. And so this positive outlook, let me ask you another question. If you have a task to perform, will you go at it better with a positive outlook or a negative outlook? A positive outlook. You know, it's like when you were a kid and your parents said, go clean your room. If all they said is, go clean your room, man, that's a negative outlook, because every kid would go, oh, man, blah, 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 blah. And so it seems like it takes forever to clean your room. But if they told you, go clean your room and as soon as you're done, we'll go get some ice cream. Suddenly you're thinking, whoa, I have a positive outlook. Yeah, I got to clean my room, but I'm going to get ice cream. We start looking at what's going to happen after the task, and we start having a more positive outlook, and that's the same way with serving God. We need to have a positive outlook. We may say, well, oh man, I have to go through this, but God's going to be with me. Oh, this is going to happen in my life, but the Lord will give me peace. And we can have a positive outlook in our life no matter what's going to happen. And that's what God wants from us. Amen? He wants us to have a positive outlook. And what's He tell us? We should be positively seeking God's kingdom. Remember, seeking means a continuous action. You say, well, I'm already born again. I'm already have salvation that's offered by Jesus Christ. You know, I am in God's kingdom. But it's more than just being in the kingdom. A kingdom is what? It's a realm of people ruled by a king. Now, what if the people within that kingdom says, all right, we're in the kingdom, we're not going to do anything. And the king says, well, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, and follow this law and that commandment, and stuff like that. And we're saying to ourselves, hey, isn't it good enough I'm just in your kingdom? No. Part of being in the kingdom is following the rules. And that's part of seeking God's kingdom is following His rules of living the kind of life. And that's why we get into the next part, which was to seek His righteousness. Righteousness is basically just living life God's way. And I want to tell you what. Our country is getting way far away from that. But that doesn't change God. And that doesn't change the way His people should be living. We need to seek after God's righteousness. So what's that mean? Well, righteousness is two things. One, it's the quality of being right, doing the right thing. But it's more than that. It's doing the right thing God's way. Many times we decide what's right. And it's the sum requirement of all that God is. We're to try to be like God, like Christ. But we have to be careful that we don't make up our own rules about what's right and wrong. I was talking to some people the other day, and I mentioned this to some others about this is a good way when you're witnessing somebody. Have you ever witnessed to somebody, you want to tell them about Jesus Christ, and their answer is this, I've been good enough. If God's a loving God, I haven't killed anybody, I haven't really been mean to people, I've been trying to, you know, no offense, but I've helped the old ladies across the street. I'm getting to the point where I need somebody to help me across the street. But the truth is, you know, they say, you know, I've been this good and that good and the other good. So I asked him a question. I said, who really holds the keys to the gate of heaven? It's God. He's the one that determines who gets in. God is the one who determines the standard for what's good. We don't. We can try. But we don't determine the standard of what good is. Only God does. And God says, if good is righteousness, God says there's none righteous, no, not one. So if we say to ourselves, God's the one who makes the rules for getting into heaven, God says, nobody can get into heaven. Oh, that's a bummer. You all thought you were going to heaven. You all been fooled. Because God says nobody can get into heaven because none of us are good enough. It doesn't matter how well you've lived your life. But that's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ came so when we believe in Him, we become part of Christ and He becomes part of us. We have our sins forgiven. And so when we get to heaven's gates, they don't ask you, are you good enough? They ask you, do you belong to Him? And if the answer is yes, come on in. Come on in. So we need to have a positive attitude about serving God and seeking His righteousness and doing the right things. And seeking His righteousness on earth is trying to live like Christ. That means Live a holy life. Not a holier-than-now life. We covered that last week's message. A holy life. Holy means separated for God. You know, in the temple, they had certain items that they would use for the worship. Those were holy items. Why? Because the only thing they were allowed to be used for is temple worship. That's what made them holy. They were separated for use by God. And we're to be holy. We're to be separated for the use by God. We're to be pure. God says He wants us to be pure. Have pure thoughts, pure actions in our lives. Seeking after His righteousness. God says He wants us to be just like Jesus Christ. So are you positive about living? You need to be. You say, well, I got a lot of problems. Well, if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, give them to Him. He'll take care of them. He'll help you through them. He'll lift you up to get over them. Be positive. And this verse 34 says, take no thought for the things of tomorrow. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We need to be positive that God's Word says, I will supply what you need today, today. Do you believe it? Say amen.
Amen.
I believe it. Because I believe this. He says, don't think that you have to spend a lot of time, you know, and how does He supply these things? Sometimes He supplies these things by the jobs that He gives us, the work that He gives us. Sometimes He supplies them through other people. It doesn't mean that we, you know, oh, God's going to give me everything I need. I'm going to go sit up on top of a mountain, just wait there, and, you know, and God's going to send me a care package every day. That's not what that means. But it does mean that that shouldn't be your first priority. Your first priority is seeking God and His righteousness. Your first priority is not worrying about tomorrow. You need to be positive that there's going to be evil tomorrow. That's what it's saying. Yeah, there's evil today, but you can be positive there's going to be evil tomorrow. So don't worry about it. It'll get here soon enough. So, do you want to live the good life? Do you want to live the abundant life, the life that Jesus Christ promised us? Well, He says right here, this is how we do it. First of all, we make it a priority to seek God's kingdom. And second, we need to be positive about the life God wants us to live today. And when we do that, your life will be a good life. Your life will be like the one that they wished for in the Declaration of Independence. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's what God's wanted for us all along. Would you please stand? Just for a moment. It's a time now for you to respond to what God has spoken to you in your heart. A time now for you to ask yourself, do I want to live the good life that God has for me? Not the good life I want for myself, the good life that God wants for me. Because I can tell you right now, the life He has for you is much better than the one you can ever come up with for on your own. If you want the good life He has planned for you, you have to do what His Word says. You have to make seeking His kingdom and righteousness a priority. And you have to make each day positive. Live a positive life. You're saying to yourself, well, maybe, you know, there's this and this and this in my life and I can't, I'm having a hard time with this. Well, go to the Lord right now. And say, Lord, I'm having trouble in this area or that area. Help me. And He will. So let's all go to the Lord together and pray. You know what you need to pray for as I pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that You love me. And we know that You love each one here. And Lord, we know that because You do love us, You want only the best for us. Lord, we know you want us to live a good life. So help us, Lord, to make seeking your kingdom and righteousness a priority in our lives. And as we do, Lord, help us to have a positive attitude about being a believer, a positive attitude about the life we're living today, a positive attitude, Lord, about our salvation. And then, Lord, if there are any here that have an iniquity or sin in their life that they haven't asked your forgiveness for, we ask now, Lord, that you do that. If there are any here, Lord, that have never accepted you as their Savior, they've heard how, Lord, help them to make today the day of salvation. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.